Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Bib Tip Review. I'm Dave.
And I'm Shecky, and in our podcast what we like to do is review movies that are available to you on your television set, whether it's through pay-per-view or even Turner Movie Classics or HBO.
Or the occasional visit to a video rental store.
Exactly. Last week we had to go into our own collection because what was on pay-per-view and HBO, they just weren't cutting it for us. It was just nothing that we wanted to review.
Slim pickings out there.
But this week we found something we wanted to review. But before I get into it, we do have an email this week, Dave.
Rap-a-da-da.
From our old friend, J.R. Claiborne.
Hey.
Why would you say hey?
Are you sure he wants his name out on the air over here?
Well, J.R. Claiborne is actually...
Listen, let me just cut you off and say, if you don't want your name on the air, please say that in your emails, because otherwise you're fodder for fatter.
Well, the truth of the matter is that J.R. Claiborne is actually also part of his podcast address, so I think it's quite fine that we say J.R. Claiborne more than, one or two times.
And go to his podcast.
Exactly.
And be pod exasperated.
Why would it be pod exasperated?
Podcasperated.
J.R. Claiborne writes, "Say, I got an idea for you. What if you visit my movie site and either pick something yourself to review from my classic collection or I'll pick one for you? How about it? Let me know and give me an address to send it to and I'll burn you a copy."
Well, what's the matter?
Well, he's not really going to burn us a copy.
He's not?
He's just going to send us a copy.
What if he burns one?
Well, he wouldn't do that.
Oh, it's illegal?
He does not burn things, just like I do not download things.
You know, see, when I was a kid, burning things, it wasn't some sort of voodoo. It was, smoking.
What?
If you didn't burn stuff as a kid, you were either not a pyro or you didn't smoke cigarettes or that other stuff. But now it's all about burning things, and it's illegal. It's still illegal.
It's just a different kind of burning.
Kids out there can't burn no matter what you're doing. You can't burn stuff.
Anywho, so I looked at his collection, and he's got lots of interesting things in his collection. He's got the old H&R Puffin stuff things from back in the day when we were little.
Ooh.
Did you watch that kind of stuff?
You referring to like the Banana Splits?
Well, there was
Land of the Lost.
Witchy Poo,
yes.
Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Well, of course, yes, I like that one.
So he's got a whole bunch of that kind of stuff, and he's one that really just totally took me back to like 1976 or whatever was Electra Woman and Dyna Girl, which was like a big one back then.
Electra Woman.
And Dyna Girl.
I think I've seen reruns of that on Nickelodeon, perhaps,
in the past
10 years.
Oh, my God. In the 1970s, the early morning shows were so much better than they are now.
Wait, who's the guy who produced it? Who are the producers?
I don't know who produced Electra Woman and Dyna Girl.
Who are the other
guys? You're thinking
Seals and Croft.
Sid and Marty Croft.
Yeah.
Seals and Croft did Summer Breeze.
Yeah, I love that animated Summer Breeze shit.
But then he's got other movies too. But that just when I was looking at his collection of like old school Saturday morning shows, I mean, I used to watch Run Joe Run. Did you watch that one?
Of course, the shepherd who is condemned to run from town to town with the voiceover by some guy who seems to Know it all.
Run, Joe, Run, and Big John, Little John.
I don't remember that one.
Big John, Little John was...
About a black guy?
No, Big John, Little John was a teacher, a science teacher, I think. He discovered the Fountain of Youth, and he would just turn into his younger self at any given time, and he was teaching at a school. And so, of course, when he would turn into the young John, Little John, Little John would be then a student at the school.
Ah.
But Little John was Oliver, the cousin from the Brady Bunch.
Ah, the shark jumper.
No, Oliver did not make that show Jump the Shark. I beg to differ.
Oliver was the beginning of the end for the Brady Bunch.
But it wasn't because of Oliver, because that kid was cute as a button.
All right, well, let's just say that it was beyond Oliver's repair.
Well, Oliver, I think they brought Oliver in as a last-ditch effort.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't think Oliver ever had a show afterwards.
I just said Big John, Little John. Well, where the hell were you?
I thought it was before.
No.
I thought Oliver got typecast as Oliver, and that was all she wrote.
Actually, I think Oliver left the Bradys because they weren't paying him enough, and he got his own series, Big John, Little John.
All right.
So anyway, he has all these cool and fun things. And then he's got movies, some that I've seen, some that I haven't seen. He's got Dog Day Afternoon. I know you love that one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Soylent Green.
Oh, another classic.
Here's one that's after my own heart. Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park.
Soylent Green is made of people, and Kiss does meet the Phantom of the Park. That's the great thing about the movie.
And another thing is... Oh, no. The best thing about Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park is the alternative lyrics to the regular Kiss songs.
Really?
Instead of like, I think it's like instead of hotter than hell, I think it's like rip and destroy, like stuff in like, it's like dark and sinister lyrics to the Kiss songs. It's hilarious.
That's pretty, yeah. Pretty.
Oh, it's really, it's one of those cult movies that I think everyone should own. Stuff it. It's bad, but it's good in its badness. So he has They Live, which I know we both love.
You show me the ready, right? Paper Day?
Yeah. Oh, God. What a great movie.
I do like that one. That was good. Saw that one back in the day. And that's a good one.
Did it put you on your path?
No, it just reminded me that other people were on the path.
I see. You weren't
I was
ready
already
for the path?
On the path.
Oh, you were already on the path.
I've been on the path for years, kid. Problem is, I thought the path was less traveled. Turns out there's other maniacs on the path, too.
The path is well-traveled.
Yeah. You gotta have sunglasses to see where you're going, though, in the path.
I'm just glad the path is as well-traveled as it is. Because I thought we were the only ones on the path, too.
Well, now it's more traveled than it was in a few years ago, but...
It will even get more traveled, I guarantee it.
More accidents with more traffic. So
and then another one he's got on there, which I remember when it came out, but I was too young to see it, and I've never seen it on television, was The Car. Do you remember that one?
Oh, no, I was thinking of Christine.
No, this was from like 76, I think, or
the
77.
Car. Death Race 2000.
No,
Christine.
It was just The Car.
The Car. No, I don't.
It was like a horror movie about this car that just kind
obviously
of.
Obviously possessed by the devil.
I don't know. It's possessed, but I never saw it. I really wanted to see it when I was like 10, but it was just. There was just not, it was not going to happen. My parents were not going to take me, and I couldn't
well,
go
so
see
what,
like
are we,
that.
Well, so we supposed to choose over here?
Well, I looked at his collection, and...
You took the liberty of choosing?
I told him to take the liberty of choosing. I sent him an email and say, you choose.
Very good.
Because I like the idea. We had that movie, The Money Tree, last week that we kind of laughed at because Greg kind of slipped us a Mickey.
Yeah,
it was his own damn movie, but we still watched it.
Extra points if you're actually in the movie.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's not pornography.
Yeah, oh, please don't send us porn films. I can't. I can't watch them.
Well, if they're actual films on reel, we'll take them. But not video copies. You know, if you have actual tape, you can dig up some 70s, you know, big super, 32 millimeter reels.
Of porn?
Yeah, you said films. So we'll take them.
We don't have anything to play them
on.
I know,
we'll sell them on eBay.
Oh, stop it.
But, hey, I'm not that Jewish. Can I help you?
How the hell are you? So anyway, so yes, J.R. Claiborne, we're ready.
Bring it on, man.
I sent him our address, our mailing address.
It's on, man.
And
it is on.
He is going to, and I'm also going to post a link to his collection on our show notes so people can go and visit, and as well as a link to his podcast. It's just a J.R. Claiborne kind of day. So also, before we get to our movie of the week, we went and saw V for Vendetta. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, it was good.
I would highly recommend it. And since it's not on the boob tube, we won't really give it a review. But
yeah, I know. I'm not much of a sci-fi guy.
You're not much of a sci-fi guy. But you liked it.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. It had some elements.
They were on the path, Dave.
They had some... It was a decent film. I thought it was quirky. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was great. I thought she was beautiful with hair or without. And I thought Hugo Weaving... I mean, what a job to do acting in a mask like that. You never see his face. It's not like you see it for a second. You never see it's him. What a job. I was very impressed.
Job well done, lad.
Don't call me Tim no more.
Don't call me Tim no more.
Okay, Dave, let's get to this week's movie, which was...
I don't know the name of this movie.
It was Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Brer Rabbit.
Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were Rabbit.
Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were Rabbit.
Indeed. So, it was my week to pick this week, and lo and behold, it just popped up this morning on DirecTV's pay-per-view. So I was like, okay, good, because this is an Oscar winner, and this is one Anthony in Paris said was his favorite movie of 2005.
Ah, well, good things happen to those who wait.
So, based on those two things, mostly because of Anthony in Paris saying it was his favorite movie of 2005, I said, let's give it a watch. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I picked it this week.
That was quite amusing. I'll second that emotion.
It's it won an Oscar for Best Animated Feature. And I liked it because it's old-school claymation. It's not computer-generated.
Now, hold on a second. There, you're telling me that for the most part. What do you mean? Because
I don't know.
It had a real computerized look to it.
No, that was stop-motion animation, Dave.
It wasn't like claymation fed into the computer and then spiced up a little bit?
Oh, I don't know. But I know that it was stop-motion.
A little spicy.
I mean, that seems like that would take a long time to do it that way.
I liked it, but just some of the background stuff seemed a little almost computerized to me.
Maybe it's a combination, but it is stop motion animation.
Yeah, no, it was good.
The story basically is the two main characters, Wallace and Gromit. Wallace is an inventor, kind of like an absent-minded professor type of guy, right?
Yeah, like a genius kind of quirky guy.
See, I don't think he's quite the genius. I think he's trying very hard, and I think his heart is in the right place.
Well, some of those gadgetry that he had insane gadgetry going on throughout the whole house.
It was pretty insane.
I mean, you got to be a genius to pull off whatever he had going on there.
True. It was a lot of unnecessary gadgetry, but
it was a misguided genius.
It was quite fun. And then his dog, Gromit, who never says a word.
Gromit.
And Gromit seems like he
was the Silent Bob of the show.
Silent Bob, yes, exactly. He's silent and yet seems a bit smarter, even though he doesn't say a word. He seems a little bit smarter than Wallace.
Yes.
And they live in—I forget the name of the town, but there's a huge vegetable competition.
Yes, they're obsessed with growing vegetables, large ones.
And they every year, apparently, they have a huge competition, like a big vegetable fair competition at the Toddingtons.
The whole town is all vegged up.
They're all vegged up. And unfortunately for everybody who's growing their vegetables, there seems to be a rabbit infestation.
Pesky rabbits.
The bunnies. And so Wallace and Gromit are kind of like pest control, yet they're not your normal pest control, because what they do is They're humane. They capture the rabbits and then they put them in the basement and feed them carrots and you know, they prepare food for them and and feed them. They have, it seems like, close to 100 bunnies downstairs.
Yes. This is true. The bunnies are accumulating. They are accumulating bunnies.
Or maybe they're just multiplying. I mean, they don't hint at that.
Well, that's what bunnies do, so you'd be left to believe.
Well, they don't hint at it, and the bunnies don't seem to be, they don't seem to be like girls and boys. They just seem to be bunnies. Which brings me up another point. This movie was rated G.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I just couldn't understand.
Well, it's G. It's G until you get older, and then you realize it's a little bit more than G. But when you're a kid, you probably missed the stuff that would make it any heavier than G.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Why was Madagascar PG?
It was probably more violent, first of all.
This one had a guy with a gun trying to kill bunnies with bullets.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know.
That's what I don't understand. I think it's the, was it Motion Picture Something Association that the rating people, whoever they are.
Fuckers.
I think they, you know, I think it just depends on what side of the bed they got up on. I mean, I don't mind G or PG.
I think it's what side of whose bed they got up on.
Well, it just doesn't make sense sometimes how they're rating movies. You know, G or PG. I mean, I could see people not wanting to bring their kids to a PG movie just based solely that it's PG, thinking, oh, it's, you know, my 4-year-old can't handle it. And I didn't see anything in Madagascar that was more violent than this movie.
I hear you. I don't remember.
And
exactly.
Neither of them were really violent. They just, you know, I just couldn't. That was just like, ever since we saw Madagascar, I was just always thinking, why is this PG? And now that we've seen Wallace and Gromit, which was a G, it just really confused me even more. So if you know out there, please feel free to let us know. This is where Dave talks for a few minutes.
I don't got no friggin' idea. I tell you, they're fucking out of their minds, the FCC. Fuck them.
It's not
fuck
the FCC.
Yeah, those guys too. All you fuckers out there, fuck you. That's right. That's right. It's a podcast. This is where we can say, fuck you.
It's true.
You fuckhead. Fuck you.
Would you like to add a cocksucker in there?
Let me clear my throat so I can get this going right. You motherfucker.
Why? Why so motherfuckery?
You know, I think that actually, if you do that enough, you can bring bad stuff upon yourself. Like, for instance, one time I was driving down the road and I was pissed off. I was going, fuck, fuck, fuck.
What were you pissed off
at? I don't know, but I was like, pissed off. And all of a sudden, a truck came around the corner and like fucking missed me by about an inch. And I was like, whoa, I just brought a fucking wrath of hate upon myself.
The karma?
Yeah. And I was like, all right, let me just chill out here.
Is that why you don't,
That's why I don't say fuck anymore while I'm driving. What?
You don't?
Well, I try not to.
Really? When did this happen to you?
No, it's not that. It's not that cut and dry, but, you know, you start thinking negative thoughts, and before you know it, there's a rain cloud and a truck fucking 2 inches from hitting you. Not happening.
Well, you know, I personally don't like to drive with a lot of people, and I hate driving with people who yell at other drivers. I hate it. Because you're so concentrating on being pissed off at that other driver when you should just concentrate on either getting the hell away from them or just keeping yourself safe.
I hear you.
And I got to say, sometimes, you know, you have a tendency to get a little angry at some drivers.
Yeah, well, I got no patience for moronicness. Moronicy. You see? Lunacy of the morons is moronicy. And I got no patience, you see.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that
everybody's in my way, and I'm not even doing anything that I shouldn't be doing.
This is why I never leave the house, people, because I don't
there's
want to be in the car.
There's a certain type of people who shouldn't be driving, all right? And usually, they're small. All right? And sometimes they have hats on because they're old. Okay, old. Don't get me started on old people and driving because they're going to kill someone. One day, someone you love is going to get killed by a fucking old person. And then what are you going to do? And then don't come crying to me because I'm telling you, you got to retest the old people at 68.5. 65, you get a fucking road test. I'm sorry if it's an inconvenience. I'm sorry if you get no dignity left. You don't deserve it. Prove to me that you should be on the road, you old motherfucker.
I agree that there should be a retest. I really do. I mean, look at that guy. What was it, on the Santa Monica Pier a few years ago? He wound up killing like 14 or 15 people.
I hear you. Just the other day, though, on the news, a fucking 85-year-old woman has a heart attack while driving.
I mean, to be honest, there should be no problem with a retest. You either pass it or you don't. If you
stop wasting my time pulling me over to see if my seatbelt is fucking on, so you can check for fucking whatever you're checking for, and retest these old people.
Yeah, and the older people always, like, they always drive the huge, huge cars, so no one is hurt except, you know, I mean, everybody is hurt except for them. And it's kind of like, it's like you get very old and you can afford that Cadillac, but you also might be endangering a lot of people.
I'd like to retest myself.
Yeah.
Quote me on that.
Totally. I agree. I mean, there are people who are 90 who are sharp as tacks and can drive and should be driving. But there are people who just, you know, they even have the shakes or something, you know?
The other day, I'm on a 55-mile-an-hour road and there's a guy going 40. And I stay behind him for about 5 seconds, and then I realize he's small and has a hat on, and I passed him. And he was completely in his own world, just like driving along 38 miles an hour on a 55-mile-an-hour road.
Yeah, see, that's not good.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's not good. But how did we get here?
Ah, jeez. I don't know, I was getting angry. The ratings, the FCC, and the ability to say, fuck. And that brings on negativity, and then I got into a car thing.
There you go.
I was tracing that thing. All right, that's train of thought.
That was a weird thing. But anyway, so this movie won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature. It was up against Tim Burton's The Corpse Bride, and I don't know what
else.
Don't
get me started on Tim Burton.
Well, his wife is in this movie. Is it? She
plays the corpse.
No.
The bride.
She is in Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, my God. It's Bonham. Are you telling me that's his wife? Her wife, his wife is Bonham?
Helena Bonham Carter.
Is she related to Jason or John?
I don't know.
Well, if she's not, as I said before, drop the Bonham. You already got Carter. No one cares about Gary or Jimmy. You got that name.
Gary Carter? Oh, the catcher?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No one cares about him.
Oh, that's not nice.
Tell me a Carter you care about.
I like Jimmy Carter.
We like him, but we don't care. He's not in the headlines. Carter is all hers.
He's the fucking ex-president.
Carter is her name, baby. Go with it, but not Bonham.
What about Helena Carter Burton?
Exactly. Burton's fine. I got no problem with that.
So you think that unless...
Unless you're related to the best drummer in the world, and this is coming from a guy who likes jazz, okay? Don't get me wrong.
He's a jazz cat.
I like all the jazz cats, but, you know, John Bonham was John Bonham. All right?
Wait,
it's like, you know.
So wait, are you saying that John Bonham was better than Keith Moon?
Better. Well, I would say that he was... I love Keith Moon, so, you know, I don't want to tread there. But yeah, John Bonham, let's just say this. You could spend a lot more time actually studying John Bonham and, like, analyzing his shit more than you could Keith Moon. Keith Moon, that's more like an emotion than a feeling.
So you're saying Keith Moon was more of an emotional player where John Bonham had more technical stuff going on?
Yeah, man. John Bonham was some serious shit.
Okay, well then, I gotta throw in Steve Gadd.
Steve Gadd is more like John Bonham than... you know, like John Bonham is like, he's a jazz, he's based on, you know, some rudiments and some jazz stuff, and he took it into a soulful, funky, hard rock thing. But Steve Gadd is also based on the jazz, you know. Keith Moon is based on Gene Krupa, which is jazz, but he's not based on the technical side, he's based on the emotional side. And, you know, lots of drugs.
Do you have a favorite drummer? If somebody came up to you and said,
no,
Dave,
I
will give
that.
You $1 million if you name your favorite drummer. Who would it be?
Yeah, that's a rough one, man. That's a rough one. Depends on how I'm feeling.
Oh, I see. It could be, because I didn't know that you had
I'll give it up to Art Blakey for right now.
Art Blakey. All right. I thought you were going to go with Gadd.
I like
Or
Gadd.
Even Mike Clark.
Well, he's my teacher, so.
Right.
Yes, but, you know, that's, you know, how I'm feeling right now.
Okay. Art Blakey right now.
So for the other five of you out there who might have heard Art Blakey, maybe you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm sure there's more than five people who knew who Art Blakey is.
Good.
So getting back to the plot, I think we touched on the plot.
Well, let me just, before we get back to the plot.
Certainly.
First thing when I, first thing about this movie is I thought to myself, something is askew with the title.
Why?
Well, Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
what?
Then okay. So I was like, I don't understand who came up with this title. And then they started speaking, and they were English. And I said, oh, okay, they're English.
You're saying Americans would not come up with a title, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit?
Maybe just The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, but not Wallace and Gromit and The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
I didn't see when I read the title. I didn't hear
Wallace
an angry
Gromit,
English guy.
Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit and the Zibbida Dibbida. It was. I couldn't get it. I thought it was like. I was thinking Clan of the Cave Bear.
What?
I thought it was like Clan of the Cave Bear or something.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Do you even know what Clan of the Cave Bear is?
Yeah, it's some kind of weird, goofy cave bear shit. like. Quest for Fire, Radon Chong, bending over.
Are you
in the
saying
woods.
That even with the claymation opening of this movie, you still didn't realize it was a claymation movie? You thought it was going to be a Clan of the Cave Bear?
No.
Even with the claymation opening graphics?
What am I thinking of? What's the movie with something Briar or Brer? Briar?
Song something? Of the South?
Briar?
Brer Rabbit?
Brer Rabbit? I thought this was going to be like Watership Down.
Why do you... Okay. Brer Rabbit is from Song of the South. Zippity-doo-dah.
Exactly.
So why did you say Watership Down?
Because rabbits. I was thinking rabbits and, some kind of radical rabbit movie.
A radical rabbit movie?
Yeah, like, lemmings. Like, they're symbolic for a generation, a lost generation.
Oh, you had no idea about Wallace and Gromit, did you?
No. But then when I realized it was English... It all started to make sense because I was like, oh, okay, that's coming from an English sort of point of view where people are actually named Wallace and Gromit.
You are sounding a lot like Mitch Hedberg. I don't know if you've been working on a Mitch Hedberg impersonation,
nope.
But your voice sounds like him.
I have not, but I do like Mitch Hedberg.
Who doesn't? Hmm? Off to jail to anybody who doesn't like Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah. Oh, and on a side note, what was the movie we recently saw that had C. Thomas Howell? Because that was fucked up. How old is that guy? 70, but he's only 39?
See, Tom, what movie was it? I know he's in...
He's getting all old. And was it with My Bodyguard?
Thomas Howell and My Bodyguard.
Something recently. Anyway, the guy looked
like... What, it was like a sci-fi movie?
He looked like C. Thomas Hell, okay?
Oh, I think it was like on a sci-fi channel movie. And I think it was awful, and we just kind of stopped watching it. But see, Thomas Howell, well, the other day on David W. Torrance's podcast, he had a whole thing about see Thomas Howell.
Really?
Yeah, and even in his podcast, you can post a picture of whatever. And he posted this huge photograph of see Thomas Howell that was so frightening that he later had to go and make it smaller because I think people were having nightmares of it.
Well, when you make a movie like Soul Man, you're destined to pay.
You think so?
I know so.
I just kind of remember the gist of Soul Man, but I don't really remember anything else about it. Radon Chong in it?
I think that might have been where they met.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken. And what else? It was not Watermelon Man.
What's... Oh, you mean Herbie Hancock's song?
Well, that's a good song.
Was there a movie
back in the late 60s called Watermelon Man, and it's quite ingenious. It stars Godfrey... Oh, man, what's his name? Black comedian.
From 1970s?
Yeah. Godfrey Chamber... 60s.
I don't know.
Oh, man, what's this cat's name? Anyway, he wakes up, he's a white guy, and he wakes up one day and he's black. And it's just surreal, all these people, how they treat him. His wife, basically his whole family leaves him, he loses his job, he gets another job in the black part of town.
Is it a comedy?
It's a comedy, but it's also a social commentary, you see. And the funny thing is, he starts off as a white guy. And you're looking at him, and you're like, something's a little funky about this guy.
He's really a black guy.
Exactly.
Anyway.
But he makes a really funny-looking white guy, you know? And you're just like, and he has these funny white characteristics, and he's totally racist white guy, you know? And then he wakes up one morning, and he's black, and it's just like his world is completely rocked. But they treat it in a way where people like are like, you know, they don't like, it's not like completely insane. They're just like, something's different about you. And they start treating them all differently. Anyway, that's a great movie. Soul Man is a joke. Watermelon Man is the shit.
When I was in like seventh grade, we had to read a book called Black Like Me.
Ah, exactly.
So I wonder, I think they made a movie out of it, didn't they?
I'm not sure. They have a series that they're doing now that's sort of like it.
Yeah,
black and white. But
black white.
I've been hesitant to watch it.
Yeah, because you know what? I think sometimes shows like that, like they go and I think they find the worst in people or the worst group of people to subject themselves to. Like I was watching on Oprah, they had the black white families on, and the black guy who's turns into a white guy. He goes into this shoe store as a black guy and, you know, he asks for a pair of shoes and the guy just gives him a pair of shoes and he's left to try them on himself. And then he goes in as the white guy and a guy helps him put them on, you know, with the shoehorn and the whole thing. And he's like, oh, that's never happened. I've never, you know, gotten shoes put on for me before. But the truth of the matter is that it wasn't the same guy both times that gave him the shoes or that got the shoes for him. So you don't really know if that second guy wouldn't. I can't imagine a white person not helping a black person on with their shoes at a shoe store. I mean, that just.
Well, you'd be surprised. There's some motherfuckers out there.
Are people still that bad out there?
And you know what else there is?
I mean, that's ridiculous. That's insane.
You know what's really funny? The Eddie Murphy skit, I believe. Is it Eddie Murphy or is it?
Could it be Charlie Murphy?
Robert Townsend, where
Father.
The black people are, you know, black people, white people are, you know, one way when they're with black people, but then when all the black people are out of the room, they're a whole nother way. And
oh, I don't know which
so
one.
So, like, you know, like a black person gets on the bus and the white people are all like stiff and like whatever one thing's going on, and then he gets off and all of a sudden they're like, you know, partying. And so, like, the guy gets on and he's undercover as a white person. He's like, I never could imagine how deep the racism went as a white person, you know.
That's
he's like,
ridiculous.
Dressed as a white person. Some shit like that. Well, I can't remember who it was.
That's insane.
It was quite ridiculous.
I mean, I haven't watched Black White, so I don't know. But I mean, if they're in the middle of, like, you know, I don't even want to say Alabama, because I just can't imagine that there's still racism out there. But I've seen it when we go to Florida. I've seen it. I've seen how ugly it is. People, and it's just normal activity for them.
Yeah, we're isolated over here in the urban environment.
Well, I just think that, you know, we just kind of grew up not thinking much about anything like that. But for the guy not to get his shoes put on, I just thought that was kind of ridiculous. But you're saying that it's not ridiculous, and it could happen.
I'm sure it does.
Well, that's horrible.
Now, back to the movie, folks.
Excuse me. Yeah, back to the movie. So, where we last left the plot... Well, wait, what was your other note?
Something was askew with the title.
Right.
They're English. Okay, that now makes sense. Claymation. I like claymation.
Yeah, I do too. It reminds me of like the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stuff. Burgermeister, Meisterburger.
The anti-pesto crime deterrent system. I like that.
Anti-pesto, yeah.
Yeah, this movie was very witty. It was very, it was good. This was funny. This is pretty funny stuff.
There was some stuff
that was a little... sexually oriented that the kids might just not even notice, so I don't think it was a problem for your little ones.
Like what?
She said that, what was the guy's name with a gun?
Victor.
She said, Victor never pays any attention to any of my produce, as she holds the two melons up in front of her breasts.
Yes, that was kind of cute. But that's, I mean, there's like...
And then there was one more reference like that with two big cauliflower heads.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. They were all shriveled up. It was like an old woman.
Oh.
Really bad.
Oh, you're awful. But anyway, so the Wallace comes up with this invention to try, because again, he is a humane pest control guy. So he comes up with an invention to try and get the thoughts of eating vegetables out of all of the bunnies' heads. And he hooks them up to this machine, this mind manipulator, and wants to think good thoughts and discourage them from eating veggies. And so something happens to the mind manipulator, and hilarity ensues.
The solution to all our storage problems. Simply by connecting the bun vac to the mind manipulation-o-matic, we can brainwash the bunnies. Rabbit rehabilitation. Once cured of their antisocial veg-ravaging behavior, the rabbits can be safely released without fear of reoffending. Just a little added lunar power to enhance the mind waves. And we can begin. Veg bad. Veg bad. Veg bad. Say no to carrots, cabbage, and cauliflower.
He in fact is the were-rabbit.
Yes. See, that's the other thing about the title. See, I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm thinking. I didn't even know it was about like a were, you know, werewolf. Everyone knows werewolf.
Oh, you didn't realize
Not even like a were-rabbit. Okay, what the hell is it? What is it? I didn't understand it was like a play on the werewolf.
Are you serious?
I didn't realize that until they were opening the pages and it says were-cow, were-rabbit. I'm like, oh, I see, like a werewolf. So here I am. Hi. I graduated high school, went to NYU. I'm a genius. How you doing? Nice to meet you.
So you didn't... Okay, so the whole term wear anything kind of threw you off.
Yeah, it's too much. The Wallace and Gromit, because when I think of Gromit, I'm thinking of little rubber things that go in your sink or like in between a bolt. You know, it's a Gromit. I was lost. Oh, and don't get me wrong. I like the English. It's not that I love all things English. It's just that they have a different mindset than Americans. And that's why I just don't think that title... That wasn't an American movie wouldn't be named exactly like that.
What? Okay, let's. All right. What would you think the name would be if
you
this
see,
had been named in America?
Over here we got Casper the Friendly Ghost, but over there they just got Casper. All right. Well, here it's the reverse. Here we got Casper. Over there is Casper the Friendly Ghost. Over here would have just been the Friendly Ghost.
You think so?
Yeah, it would have been the Curse, or Were-Rabbit, Curse of Were. Beware the were-rabbit.
But let me just say this. Wallace and Gromit are already... This is not their... This is not their first... this is their first feature-length film.
Oh,
but
so
I believe
like
there
a, are... a show over there?
I don't know if it's a show, but there are short films with Wallace and Gromit out there. This is not the first appearance of Wallace and Gromit in the world. It is, I believe, their first feature film, though.
Well, then I think it would have to have been Wallace and Gromit... How's that?
Well, I don't think I like just Wallace and Gromit because there is, you know, it is like a scary little movie, or it's supposed to be.
You know what? I got a problem with the term were-rabbit.
Why?
I don't know. It should have been more like Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Zombie Rabbit or the. Wallace and Gromit and that damn big rabbit.
But see, I think the...
Curse of the big rabbit.
But do you see that the were-rabbit only came out when the moon was out?
Gosh darn it, I haven't figured this one out yet, but something about the title I just think should have been different for American release. That's all I'm saying.
Well, so are you saying an American werewolf in London...
Ooh, that's a good title. Is that taken?
So you think if it would have been a British were-rabbit in Tottingshuntonville or something...
Too long. Have a Tottington Ware.
Tottington Ware.
The Ware.
I think you... you know what? This is one of those things where I think you started obsessing on for
Jiminy
no reason.
Jiminy Glick's Rabbit Ware. Something like that. Why do you do that with the rabbit?
There is no... No. I think the title's fine, Dave. I think you obsessed on it because you didn't understand.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I got like a learning disability or something.
I don't know what the term "where" really means.
I got like a space relation disorder.
What does that even have anything to do with this?
I don't know, but let's limit that to three initials and start giving people drugs for it.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Space relation disorder.
Did you write that down or something?
I got SRD. Don't talk to me.
Shut up,
wait,
weirdo.
Give me some more drugs, otherwise you won't allow me in school.
Stop it.
I'm going to take your kids away from you. I got SRD over here.
So, eventually, Wallace is, through Gromit's help, Wallace realizes that he is, in fact, the were-rabbit.
Exactly.
And they create a huge other bunny.
The ears he suddenly appears with.
Well, true.
He all of a sudden has rabbit ears.
Which is, right, exactly. At first, he doesn't really believe Gromit when Gromit is pointing at the were-rabbit in the newspaper and then pointing at Wallace, and he's like, no. And then Gromit has to pull out a mirror and show that he is indeed.
He's metamorphosizing.
He's got the bunny
ears. As is the rabbit metamorphosizing into a bizarre human form.
Cheese-loving bunny. Yeah,
that's right.
The rabbit that he had the experiment
has
go
the reverse effect.
Awry on, yeah, has the reverse effect. So the bunny, who they named Hutch, is actually becoming more and more like Wallace. And so instead of carrots, he's starting to really like cheese.
Yes.
Which reminded me of you.
I love the cheese. It's a bit of the ultra cheese.
Did you see the name of the one of the cheeses that they were eating?
Stinky Smelly Shepherd. What was it? Smelly Bishop?
Stinky Bishop.
Stinky Bishop, yes.
I never heard of that kind of cheese.
Well,
I wonder
that's
if it's
funny.
Real.
See, that's funny because here in America, we tend to stray away from those cheeses. Unless you have some sort of tie to France or maybe England or Ireland, and you get some stinky cheese.
Remember that cheese?
They got some stinky ass cheese over there in Europe. Yo, you got some stinky cheese, motherfucker. And your cheese is so stinky, you ain't got to pasteurize your milk. That's how stinky that shit is.
What?
You got some cheese over there that we ain't allowed to have over here because of our pasteurization regulations.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, they regulate it.
We had this weird French goat cheese once. And the smell was so gamey.
Yeah, how do you go to someone's house and that's the cheese they serve you?
No, that was when William's parents gave us Lindberger cheese. We went to visit a sick friend.
Well, you think Lindberger's bad?
And they came out. They said, "Oh, we went to visit my friend who was very ill." And his mom came out and said, "Would you like some cheese and crackers?" And we were like, "Okay, yeah, sure," because we just wanted to say yes.
Swiss, Jarlsberg, cheddar.
I thought
Monterey Jack, Monster.
I would have been happy even with Velveeta, even though that's not even real cheese and it really sucks.
I think there might have been a little brie there too, perhaps. See, brie is where you're crossing the line.
Brie is, yeah.
You're on the verge of fetid at that point, but not exactly annoying.
They came out with this cheese, and Dave took some, and I wasn't concentrating on what they were handing me because William was there, and he was clearly not well, and so we were just kind of concentrating on him. We take the cracker with the cheese, and the stench hits me. My nose, inside of my nose, goes like completely numb, and I'm like, "Oh, what kind of cheese is this?" And she's like, "Lindberger," and I was like, "Oh, I've never had this before." And I was just, it's one of those.
Well, it's
cheeses.
A very sophisticated cheese, you see.
Oh my God!
If you're a connoisseur of cheese, you like the Lindberger.
It was horrible, and I was just like,
"It's kind of cheese." You go.
It just was. It was almost like a cartoon moment where your eyes get all big and your nose flares out, your nostrils. It was insane. I couldn't
believe
that's
the kind of cheese this guy liked.
I can't believe that's the kind of cheese that people would just serve you when you come over, like without any warning. Here, have some crackers.
I got a friend who likes that kind of cheese too. It's like extreme. What is that? Jesse likes that cheese.
He must have weird taste buds or something.
Well, he likes the.
You have been to his house?
It's like a European cheese.
You've been to his house when he's had Lindberger cheese?
No, it's not Lindberger. It's like a very strong cheddar. I think it's like an Irish cheddar. Or is it an Irish setter?
Bum, 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 bum.
I like that Irish set of cheese.
Anyway, so, of course, at the end, Wallace is turned back from the were-rabbit, and Victor...
Yes, well, see, like in classic werewolf stories, when you die, you change back to your original form. But somehow he didn't actually die, he just... was revived by the stinky cheese.
He was revived by the stinky bishop. So there was like a lot, the movie was totally cute, and I could see where, I mean, if it was up against other kind of animated movies, that this one would win, just because of the effort that has to go into something like this.
This movie was a lot more unique and a lot more original than like Madagascar. I enjoyed them about the same, but I think this one is definitely better. This is a better movie. I'm not sure if I necessarily enjoyed it more. I think it's better, though. I mean, because, you know, Madagascar is like, it's Disney, right?
No.
Pixar, one of them. One of them.
I think it's actually the same company. I think it was DreamWorks. What the fuck is wrong with you?
The Saturday Night Live characters. They go,
those guys that lasted for one season?
The rich people, the rich English.
But there was a time when you were doing that all the time. And it was just like, you couldn't even talk to Dave, and he would just be doing, what was that? What would they do?
It's like a, some sort of like stuffy, like.
What were they, like fancy, were they English? I think they were like French
were
or
like,
something.
Or French, or they were like royalty, you know? Like,
they were like, they had the white wigs on and the.
It was quite ridiculous.
It was really quite funny.
Was it Mike Myers and the other guy?
I don't think it was Mike Myers. I think it was one of the guys from Kids in the Hall.
Right.
And some other guy.
Mike. Not Mike.
McKinney?
Mike McKinney.
No, I don't think his
Not
name is Mike.
Not Mike McKinney. Mick McKinney.
Mick Inney.
Mick Inney. Steve Inske. Stephen Inske. Steve Inske.
What?
He's a reporter. Stephen Inske. But he never calls himself Stephen Inske. He calls himself Steve Inske. So it sounds like he's going, Steve Inske.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Steve Inske.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a fucking, he's a reporter. I hear him on a satellite radio. Steve Inske.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's on NPR.
No, he's got to be on XM Public Radio. XM
at some point in his life, he chose to be Steve because Steven, you can't say, you say Stevensky and you say Steveninsky. It's extra. It doesn't matter.
Stevensky.
It's like Stravinsky. You see, it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, at that point, I would have went with my middle name, whatever it was.
Bruce.
No. No, I wouldn't have. So, best part of the movie for you?
All the bizarre little animation, I mean, all the bizarre little technology and little gadgetry.
Whoa. We said gadgetry at the same time?
We said gadgetry at the same time.
I thought you liked when the guy said mental.
That was quite amusing, too. I thought the whole thing was very quirky. It was kind of...
It was quirky and clever.
It was good.
Was there a worse part for you? Other than Helena Bonham Carter's name?
No worst part for me, no.
No, okay. And scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give it a 7. Maybe a 7.5.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Fair enough. I will go. Right, let me revise mine to 7.5.
Okay. compared to the animal?
It's better than the animal.
Wow. Well, there you go, folks.
You can like what I'm saying. They don't make many movies like this. This is a very, I don't know, something about it, very offbeat, sort of.
Now,
I'd recommend it.
I want to know if next week we can look forward to an episode of people that you don't know that you should know that are in movies.
Yeah, I think that was coming up. That was going to be brewing there. We got that one on the back burner there.
You actually are thinking of something?
I am thinking of something.
Somebody recommended Lee Van Cleef. I think it was our friend Rev X, actually.
Lee Van Cleef. Well, I don't even know who he is. See, I've heard the name, but I don't know who he is.
See, he said that that was his suggestion. I forgot to print out Rev X's email.
Some bitch.
All right, then. So you want to just tell him quickly to visit Dave and Shecky? .com?
Yes, come on down there. You visit us. You can check out some of the old archives. Some of the new archives. Some of the archives.
SomeoftheArchives.com?
It's really archival, and you're going to really love to love it.
All right, love to love it.
Love to love it, baby.
All right, so I think that's it for this week. Come on down to DaveAndShecky.com. We're going to have show notes associated with this episode, like a link or two, especially to J.R. Claiborne's podcast and his very unique movie list.
And all you kids out there in film school, get hip. Come on. Get Mr. Make some movies that are worth reviewing.
Yeah.
Save Hollywood. What the fuck? This is a joke.
If you're in film school and you have a movie that you think we'd like to review,
Hollywood's a fucking joke.
We are interested. So send us an email at go to davidchecky.com and you can contact either one of us or both of us through the website. All right, people. Anything else, Dave?
No.
Oh, God. That was awful. That went on for about 8 minutes too long.
Well, see, we're never going to overdub, and we're going to make harmony of that.
No, we're not. He's Dave.
She's Shecky.
We're Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review.
That's Shecky over there. She's been at this for a long time.
We will see you next week.
Bye.